irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone. As you always are, Fridays live, 11 in the morning Pacific, which means you get to listen wherever you want around the world and become enlightened and get some self-help and stuff like that. So we're going to have a great show as usual today, and I always invite you guys to call in or, you know, email me if you have questions or comments about what we're talking about. And I think you will. And you really want to pick up the book that I'm talking about today, because my guest is awesome. But let's just start out. I just want you to know, a lot of listeners, you guys, you know, tell me out there that sometimes after reading self-help or motivational books, that you kind of beat yourselves up for not being that person, you know, that the books portray you to be. And you tell me that you feel really positive and excited about starting your new life, right? You read a chapter and you use that yellow marker and you're like, yes, I'm going to put this down. I'm going to go journal and I'm going to, yeah. And then shortly after that, you give up and go back to your old habits because you feel you have to kind of pursue some of these lives or goals that are unattainable. You know, you got these storybook things going on in your heads, folks. So you got to be perfect. What the hell is that? Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about how you can start taking small steps towards making your actual life better with the author of the ultimate unself-help book. So not only is my guest going to give you some great advice, he's going to tell you what not to do, what you've been doing that's a little off. See, so you're going to hear how tiny changes in your life can cause ripples that reverberate into every area of your life, but not to make you feel guilty for being you, right? I mean, that's like this huge thing that we all have, our guilt, oh my God, about ourselves. Stop it. So keep it here on the couch because we're going to find out how to transform your life from, as my guest says, shoulda, coulda, woulda, to just do it. Hey, I'm doing it. I did it, you see. So we've got up on the phone Terry Lancaster, who's an author, speaker, entrepreneur. He writes and speaks on the power of habit and focus. And basically, he helps folks build better lives, one decision at a time. You can see him on TEDx. And his articles have appeared in multiple forums, including the Good Men Project. Good stuff on that, guys. He's the co-founder, VP, and TV producer at Instant Events Automotive Advertising, with degrees in English journalism, as you can tell. And with all that, let's pull him up on the air. Terry, welcome to the couch today.
Glad to be here. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
And thanks for that warm-up. Wow.
Well, you're welcome. Hey, you know what? I read it off your bio online. So
yeah.
But you know what? It was a good book, so I tell the truth. That's
Thank
what
you.
I do. So, you know, I like to talk about authors' experiences themselves, so I just kind of thought I'd throw this one at you at the top here, because, you know, you say that transformation in your life over the last few years has been a little surreal. I like the way you said that. So what's kind of surreal about it?
Well, I mean, okay. If 4 years ago, you transport me back in time 4 years ago and you say, Terry, you're not going to have had a drink in 3.5 years. I've been drinking since I was 14 years old, and
Ooh.
I drank with enthusiasm for 39 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And you would have told four year ago, Terry, that you don't drink anymore. I'd have said, you're crazy. Your cornbread ain't done. You're out of your mind. I've ran the last 453 days in a row. Every day, rain or shine, snow, hell or high water, I'm outside running. If you'd have told me a few years ago that I was going to run, period, anywhere, and there wasn't someone chasing me, I'd have said, you're crazy, you're out of your mind, much less 453 days in a row. If you would have told me I had a number one best-selling book and I'm on the radio in Los Angeles, California, there's no way this could have ever happened. I can't even see how I got here there. So it's been amazing.
Well, good for you, man. And you're going to share how you did all that with everybody else today. How's that?
I will.
Let's do it.
That's fantastic.
The book, by the way, folks, is called Better! ! Self-help for the rest of us. And we're talking to the author today, Terry Lancaster. If you'd like to email me if you have questions for Terry, go for it. Right here at the station, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And or you can call live if you have questions. It's 323-203-0815. That's live here in Los Angeles. But we're all over the world, as you know. So, okay, Terry, after reading the first couple of chapters of your book, right, I thought of that character. And this is old school stuff, guys. So a lot of you folks won't be able to relate to it, but you can see it on reruns, which I've done because I'm so young. I never saw it live. Like the way you laugh there. Anyway, it's the character that Bob Newhart played as a psychiatrist on some old Saturday Night Live bits. Have you seen those reruns? Where people would come into his office, right? They'd start talking about their fears and their depression. And Bob, as the psychiatrist, would sit there and let them talk and cry. Well, he nodded his head, listening to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then he'd sit there and he'd say, are you ready to hear the secret to help to get what you need to feel better? Are you ready for the secret? And they'd look at him and go, absolutely, yes, please tell me. And then he'd stand up and he'd lean over the desk and he'd look at him and he'd go, just stop it. And then he'd sit back down and say, now when would you like to make your next appointment? Right. So that kind of, in a way, reminds me of some of the stuff in your book. Because, I mean, it's no nonsense. And I appreciate your gentle therapeutic encouragement. And, you know, it's just the correct quote is in here, get your dead ass up and make it happen.
So, it ain't going to happen by itself, Doc.
That's right, honey. You got that right. So I think it's always cool to talk about some of the stories about successful people who you've met that you talk about in your book. So can you share some of those cool stories?
Well, one of the stories in the book, one of my favorite stories about the second chapter is the chapter you're talking about, get your dead ass up and make it happen.
Yeah.
It's a story on the transformative power of action. And one of the stories in that chapter is, I haven't met the man, but Sugar Ray Leonard, when he was 15 years old, he was, he was a kid, he was Baltimore, Maryland, and he was taking care of his younger siblings.
Yeah.
Every day, he'd get up and he'd walk his younger siblings to the bus stop and he'd make sure they all got on the bus safe and sound,
mm-hmm.
and he'd lean over and he'd put his shoes on and he'd run behind the bus all the way to school every day. You know, and you know, kids, they're pointing and laughing and making fun of him. Look at Ray, you know, Ray's crazy. And you know.
Sure.
But Ray had a plan. Ray wanted to be an Olympic boxer.
Mm.
So he chased the bus to school every day.
Whoa.
He got up and he made it happen. Then he left and he lied about his age so he could get into the Olympic trials early.
Yeah.
And he went on to become Sugar Ray Leonard. He went on to be on Dancing in the Stars because he got up every morning and chased the bus to school. So the question I ask everyone is, are you willing to chase the bus? How bad do you want it?
I love that. Are you willing to chase the bus, folks? Don't forget that one. That's a good one. And, you know, I also really love the way that you say that positive thinking can make you feel better. Okay, right. Yeah, positive thinking. Like I was talking about a little earlier at the show, at the top of the show, where, you know, you feel good. You read a couple of chapters and you go, yes, I'm going out and I'm doing this. But the thing is it's positive acting that makes stuff happen. So in your book, you always, you know, give some great tips and ideas. So you have 10 action steps. So can you share some of those with us, some of the most powerful ones, or all, if you'd like, for us to get started.
There's action steps at the end of every chapter. While we're talking about boxing, we all make these plans, and Mike Tyson, he's got the perfect quote for this. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth, and life's going to punch you in the mouth. So we spend all this time making any plans instead of just getting up and putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
And the whole point of the book is giving up on the siren song of perfection and taking one step at a time. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. How do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time. So we get these big plans, and you know, there's lots of books on Amazon that are some version of how to lose 1 million pounds, how to lose 100 pounds and make $1 million. And they put these big goals up and then try to motivate you to get moving toward those.
Yeah.
And what my book is about is looking at where you are and starting there, fully embracing the moment, being grateful for all the blessings in your life and leaning into it to be where you want to be. So if, for the people who aren't driving, if you're sitting at your desk listening to this, or you're sitting at home listening to this, or you're on the couch. So if you're driving, just keep driving. But one of my favorite, easiest things to do that I talk about in the book is if you're at work, you've been working for an hour, you're all tied up, stand up as straight as you possibly can, lift your shoulders up high, pull your shoulders back, pull your chin up like you're proud, when you say like a balloon's lifting your head towards the ceiling. Then just put your hands straight up in the air and take a good deep breath. Inhale and exhale. It's amazing how much better you will feel if you just stand up, stretch, and breathe with intention.
Yes.
Just stand up, stretch, and breathe. Be fully present in the moment. Be here and breathe. Air is good. I like air.
Yeah.
I want to get as much of it in as I can.
Yes.
So there, if nothing else, stretch and breathe. There's your first action step on the road to being better.
Hey, I love it. You know, except if you live in downtown LA, put your gas masks on, stand up. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's great. No, it's really true. I mean, that's like basic yoga there. But I mean, how true is that? That's what our bodies are meant to do.
It's simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't take an hour. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to buy any equipment. Just stand up and breathe.
Yeah.
Drop to the floor. Do one push up right now. There you go. One push up.
Uh-oh.
That'll get your blood flowing and get your arm, gets the blood in your arms. I start every day. Every day I wake up, I go, I start my coffee, and while my coffee's brewing, I drop to the floor and I do a 2-minute plank. I set the timer and I do 2 minutes and I breathe, and a plank, everyone laughs at planks until they've done one. You lean over and you do a plank. You're just sitting there. Okay. You try sitting there on your arms for 2 minutes with your stomach muscles tight and trying to breathe.
Yeah.
So two minutes every day. At the end of the 2 minutes, my heart rate's up. I've broken just a little bit of sweat.
Exactly.
Every day, and it gets my heart pumping to start the day.
Yeah.
There's another quick action step. One of my personal things, I'm a big fan of gratitude. I think being grateful for where you are and who you are and the blessings that you have in your life allows you to get more things. So send a thank you note to someone, a personal handwritten thank you note to anyone, to a customer, to a family member, to a friend you haven't talked to in a while. I made up this statistic because most statistics are made up. But every time you say thank you, it adds 1 minute to your life. And I believe that fully with all my heart. Being grateful for where you are.
I like that.
Just let you embrace everything. So send someone a thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the phone and call. Call your mother. Call your grandmother. Call your father. Call your uncle. Call your great aunt Bessie, who you haven't talked to in 10 years. Somewhere in this world, there's someone who it would make their day if you would pick up the phone and call them.
It is so true.
Boy, just call them.
Yeah, those are some beautiful things. Guys, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. And my special guest today is right here with me, actually via the Skype, Terry Lancaster. He's the author of the book. It's a bestseller. It's called Better, Self-Help for the Rest of Us. Kind of tells you what you've been doing wrong, in a way, but also doesn't make you feel guilty about things that you can do just to start right now and little steps to improve things in your life, and you'll feel a lot better about yourself. Also, Terry was just giving us a quick kind of rundown of his version of the book, The Secret. You know, y'all know about The Secret, right? So, you know, Terry, you can talk about that too as well. Guys, if you want to call in, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. 0815. You'd think I'd know it by this time. And or if you're shy and you'd rather text me a question, do so, please, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Love to hear from you guys. And again, we're talking about the book, Better, Self-Help for the Rest of Us. So let's get with it. I appreciate you being so honest about, you know, what you have been through, Terry. And you're weighing over 300 pounds in your life. Wow, dude. I mean, that's that's a lot of work to shed those pounds. So what steps do you suggest for readers to sort of take care of themselves in terms of physically kind of working on themselves? And why is it so important to, you call it fuel the machine, because you are that auto kind of guy.
Yeah, that's right. We, if we were a racehorse, the analogy is, if we were a racehorse and we had $1 million racehorse that our livelihoods depended on and our lives depended on and our happiness depended on, we had all this money invested in it, we would not feed that horse the crap we feed ourselves.
Yep.
You know, we wouldn't be going through the drive-thru at McDonald's to buy a Big Mac for $1 million horse. Mm. But we do it for ourselves every day, and we drink soda, and we drink booze, and we smoke cigarettes, and we put all this stuff inside our body that is just does nothing to add to the productivity of the machine. And so one of the great changes in my life is the moment that I kind of decided to quit eating for entertainment.
Yeah.
Eating wasn't sport. And I love good. I'm from the South, man. I love food. I love cakes, and I love deep fried, and I love bacon. I'm getting buried with a bunch of bacon.
Oh, my God. I know. So what do you do about that?
Well, that's okay. I love bacon, and I can have bacon, and I can have ice cream, and I can have anything I want. But it can't be the main focus of my life. I can't eat it three times a day. I can't eat pounds and pounds and pounds of it. It's a treat. It's not nutrition. So I eat for nutrition. I eat to give myself the energy I need to do the things I need to do for the life I lead. I eat for fuel to fuel the machine. I eat real food, and my kids say, "What do you mean real food?" I eat real food. Food that rots.
Yeah.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
Fruits.
Right.
All the stuff on the outside, when you go into the grocery store, all that stuff on the outside that they push you away from so you can get into the good stuff in in the bright and shiny boxes in the middle.
Yeah.
Take a walk around the outside. Eat some cheese. Eat some fruit. Eat some broccoli.
Mm.
That's where your nutrition comes from. So much of what we eat, we've been trained for our entire lives to eat this stuff, and it's not food.
Mm-hmm.
It's digestible, partially edible, food-like substances. And they run it through all these processes, and they take all the nutrition out, and they put it in, and they make it super crunchy so we want more of it. And there's whole billions and billions of dollars of research being spent on how to make you eat more Cheetos. We want to make them the exactly right saltiness level. They have the mouthfeel. There's this thing called the disappearing caloric index, whereas if you eat something and it starts off big like a Cheeto, and as soon as you bite into it, it kind of crunches down and disappears. It tricks your brain and makes you want more because your brain didn't get what it wanted.
Oh,
and the
God.
Same thing with diet soda.
Yeah.
You drink a diet soda, you get that sugar rush, you get a little buzz because it's sweet, and your brain's going, man, I like the sweet stuff. Well, here comes the sugar buzz. And you never get that sugar buzz from the diet soda. So what do you want?
Yeah.
You want more diet soda because you've made your brain want the sugar buzz.
Yes.
So try to eat real food. Eat what you need to fuel the machine to get up. And then once you've got the machine fueled, use the machine. The machine isn't made for sitting around watching TV 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
The machine isn't made to sit perfectly still 16 hours a day. Get up and move.
Yeah.
Even, you know, and I'm not saying go run a marathon. I'm not saying everyone has to run a marathon. I'm not saying you have to do 100 push-ups a day.
Right.
I'm not saying you have to do anything except move. And if that means walking around the block, go walk around the block.
Yes, exactly.
I've got a friend who decided after she read the book, she was going to start marching in place. So she's watching TV, and every day when the commercials comes on, she'll stand up and she'll march in place for 2 minutes.
Yep.
If that's all you do, that's better than doing nothing.
Yep.
Anything is better than nothing. So just get up, get moving, get your dead ass up.
Yep.
And get moving. There you go.
Get your dead ass up. I like that. Guys, we got some emails coming in, but I want to ask Terry a few more questions here, which relate to his book. It's a great self-help book. Ashley, he calls it the non-self-help book. It's called Better Self-Help for the Rest of Us, Terry Lancaster. We're also going to tell you how you can find him and his book a little bit later. Number one on Amazon. Great read, easy read, but will help you out a lot. Doesn't make you feel guilty either. I like that. It's kind of like some diet foods, right? But you got that sodium going on too. I just flashed on that, you know, with the soda, Terry. Yeah, it's diet, but you got that. Oh my gosh, that's so addicting too. All the sodium they pour into those diet drinks. Yeek.
Everything chemical. I want to eat real food. I don't want to eat someone's chemistry experiment. You know, I try my best to eat things that don't have ingredients. I want to eat ingredients.
Yeah.
I want to eat. I don't need boxes of chemistry experiments.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's right. That's the deal. You don't want the chemistry. And it is not better living by chemistry. It's really not, because you'll feel it in your body. And when you stop eating the junk like that, I mean, you can have, like, you know, it's portions. You can have your fried stuff occasionally, right? You can get that little fix, but just don't let it overpower you.
Like, it's a treat. You can't build your life around it, but you treat yourself. You know, you only live once. You might as well live. Yeah. But, you know, you don't have to eat the whole pint of Häagen-Dazs.
Boy, you got that right. I know. Sit me down with a good movie on a bad night, give me a spoon, and I'm down. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I'm down for that. You know, in your book also, you talk about how, you know, other self-help books kind of make you feel kind of bad about yourself, you know. So a lot of guilt, going, oh, my God, I should have and I could have and all that stuff. What is this thing in our society, Terry, about perfectionism? What's up with that? I mean, why are we such perfectionists? What do you think about that?
It's marketing. I mean, and I'm a marketing guy. I'll tell you what it is. It's marketing 101. You put a pretty picture in front of someone, and they like the pretty picture. That's what they're going to move on. So, and you watch the TV, and you see all the beautiful people living beautiful lives with beautiful smiles and perfect abs and everything's beautiful and perfect. And you go on Facebook, and you're watching the highlight reel of everyone's life, and they're talking about their great vacation and how their kids are awesome, and they're on the honor roll, and they're on the dean's list, and they made the travel team, and my kids are perfect, and my life is perfect. And every time we watch that, we're comparing our lives to that, and we know that our lives are perfect, but we're only seeing the perfection in everything else. And we're, you know, one of the things I say in the book is quit letting an imaginary there and then screw up a perfectly good here and now. You're watching an imaginary there and then and comparing your life to it. But perfection is an easy sell. And so that's what everyone's driving that to us. And that, just like I was talking about earlier, the books put this idea of perfection out there that they want to drive you to, because they'll know you'll see the pretty picture and you'll buy the book. Now, you'll never do any of the stuff that's in that book because you can't get there from here.
Yeah.
You know, your mind can't make that leap.
Yes,
your mind
exactly.
Can only be where it is.
That's right.
It's all marketing.
No, it is so much marketing. And you know that. You've been there and done that for a long time. For over 20 years, you've been doing that. So you know what it takes. All right. So we have an email. I think this time we should throw it in because it's a good one. And they're all good, guys, by the way. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. You reached out to me. And this is from John. And
Hey, John.
Thank you so much for emailing me. And he says, I've got so many pressures with work, trying to support my family. He has parentheses. It says 2 kids under 7. Do chores, pay bills with a bully boss. Okay? If there's something you can give me right now, what is it? All right, John.
The only thing I can tell you is to quit worrying about the outcomes and start worrying about the inputs. Do what you can do. I mean, do your best. Do your job. Do what you're supposed to do. Take care of yourself. And everything's going to work out. It always does. I've got 1,000. I'm batting 1,000 for every day I've been alive because I'm still alive.
Yeah.
It's all going to work out. Mm. I promise you it's going to work out. It always does. It always has. So just keep stroking. Do what you're supposed to do. Do the best you can do. Be a better you. Take a look at where you are right now and all the stuff that's going on in your life. And I'm telling you this, if you got three kids under seven, I have three daughters.
Woo.
Embrace every moment of that. Yes. My kids are pretty much grown now. I've got two 21-year-old daughters and a 17-year-old daughter. And that is going to fly by faster than you can ever possibly imagine. I tell everyone, don't blink, because next week your kids are going to be leaving for college. And you're going to think, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
So be perfectly mindful of every moment you get to spend with your family. Love, cherish, play with your kids. Get down on the floor and play with your kids.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Get down on the floor and play with your kids. Everything else will take care of itself. Your boss can kiss your butt.
Yeah.
You do what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
You play with your kids. You make everything happy. Everything's going to work out.
That's right. And you know, get that ego out of the way too. With, you know, we do have bully bosses sometimes. We have to deal. We all have to. But you know how to do it. You know how to play it. Do your job. Make that money, honey. Do it.
Yeah,
just
go in. Put in your 8 hours. Clock. Smile. Yes or no, sir.
Yeah.
And go home and play with the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Play with the kids. And that's another thing. You know, I always tell people, Terry, is that you know, you got to do that. You've got to be with your beloved and your family members, all those people around you, because it goes by. And I don't mean to be this pessimist, because I hated it when people used to tell me when I had my son, you know, oh, it goes by just so fast, you better, you know, it's like, shut up. But it does.
I don't think people don't understand.
I can say it
until the cows come home. Well, you're not going to understand it until it happens to you. Because I was telling this to someone at a party the other day. I said, he was talking about he had little kids, and I said, man, it's going to go by fast. He goes, man, this is just dragging by, because you know, you get involved in the details, and you got to change diapers, and the kids are always upset about something. And yes, it drags by, but it's going to go by faster than you would ever imagine.
Oh yeah, you got to just love them for being children too. And the other thing too is when you get older. And when your parents get older and your whoever other relatives are getting older, your kids, all right, they're out of the house, they're adults. You never want to say, damn, I should have been.
Yeah.
You never want to regret, God forbid, you know, someone really close passes. You never want to be in that place where you go, and I think we all do to some extent, but where you torture yourself saying, I should have been more loving. I should have cherished those moments with that person. I shouldn't have pushed them off. You know what I'm saying?
Take inventory of where you are and who's in your life
and
love your life.
Yeah.
And love your people. Find your people and love them.
Yes, exactly. Find it. So, you know, you want us to help us get out of our heads. I mean, that's what you work on a lot in your book. You're a master of the moment. That's what I'm saying here.
Try to be.
Yeah. So, you do have that good chapter. And again, and you suggest that we, you know, get rid of those constant, what if? And I shoulda, coulda. We were just talking about that. So you're saying to really be in the moment, focus on what's going on now, take care of business. What about the? You know, a lot of people come into me and they want what's called talk therapy.
Yeah.
I do kind of talk therapy sometimes, but it's a lot of it kind of spirals into, oh, how my life sucks and has always sucked.
Exactly.
And I don't want. I get it,
Stop
and I do want to hear it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Stop it! But we all need to vent. We all need to lay it out there. We all need a support system. Sometimes we can't do that with people in our lives because they'll go, shut up! But my point is that after a while, and I'm not talking about me, and, you know, having a problem with therapists who do that, or myself. But what I'm saying is that after a while, if you keep perseverating on that, my life sucks, your neural patterns are getting formed firmly, and you're building those habits of, my life sucks, and I'm going to make it suck even more by believing even more that it sucks, right? So,
If you were to hit your hand with a hammer, you go, ow, that hurts. I'm not going to do that again. You wouldn't keep there banging your hand on the hammer. You know it hurts, so you stop. But we all let these thoughts and, you know, these patterns, these neural patterns, we're just saying, we let them establish themselves, and we keep going over and over and over what, you know, what might have happened and what could have been and how things could be better, and we let an imaginary there and then screw up perfectly good here and now instead of controlling, instead of getting our head out of our head And mm-hmm. and the one of the greatest things I've done over the last 4 years is I learned how to meditate. I'm a middle-aged redneck from Nashville, Tennessee. I didn't know nothing about no meditating.
I didn't know nothing about birthing no babies.
Exactly.
Or meditating.
But if you can learn to sit still for 10 minutes and just concentrate on breathing, breathing in, breathing out, concentrating on the breaths and being fully here right now, and you'll start to notice, you know, the thoughts that are creeping in your head. Oh, I didn't pay the bill. Oh, I had an argument with my boss. Oh, my boss. And these thoughts pop into your head because that's what your brain does. You got a big brain. It's made for thinking big thoughts, and they're always going to be flying in. But once you learn to fully focus, you can see these moments falling by, and I call it the narrator. He's a disc jockey.
Yeah.
He's a disc jockey going on in your head, and it's just like a top 40 station that only plays 27 songs. He's got his greatest hits. You know, my mama was mean to me. My boss is a bully. I've got all these things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn he's just a narrator, mm-hmm. and you can turn him off.
Mm-hmm.
You can shut him up mm-hmm. by just telling him to stop it. And when the negative thoughts creep into your head, just stop it. Just push them aside. And once I learn that I don't have to think all these thoughts. I don't have to go over these arguments that I've had with people over and over and over again. I can just be here.
Right.
And at some point, complaining about all the bad stuff that happened to us doesn't do any good. I don't get a chance to talk to many actual real life psychologists, and I bandy about a bunch of psychology terms in the book, you know, because I read them in People magazine. But my favorite is confirmation bias. And that's you see what you expect to see.
Yep.
And if you spend all day complaining and griping about how miserable the world is and how it isn't fair and how all these bad things are going on, your brain is going to look for opportunities to confirm your bias.
That's right.
Oh, look at right. Yep. Here's look at that.
Yep.
That sure sucks. Yep. Every day. This sucks.
That's right.
Oh, traffic is horrible. Every day. The dog still smells bad. Every day. You know, the more you complain about it.
You crack me up, dude. You're so funny.
So, you know,
that's going to be the title of your next book. The dog still smells bad. Get over it. I'm sorry.
But you can do the exact same thing. If you will start, and every night when I lay my head down, when my head hits the pillow, I say, okay, Terry, what were three amazing things that happened today? Three things that I'm grateful for that were just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start looking, amazing things happen every day.
Yeah.
So every night when I hit the pillow, I look for something amazing that happened that day that I'm super grateful for. And the next day, my brain confirms my bias by finding three more amazing things that happened each and every day.
That is
so start
awesome.
Looking for the amazing things instead of things that suck.
That's exactly right. No, hear, hear. And, you know, that's the thing I always say, and again, you're rewiring your brain. And
exactly.
There's even more than three amazing things. I mean, just look you know, you don't want to be one of those kook fanatics or anything like saying, oh, my God, there's messages for me around the universe. The bus just had that sign that said, keep it real. Oh, my God, that means I got to be more honest, you know. But, I mean, really, if you keep your eyes open and to things, you'll see stuff from the universe that's not necessarily egotistically coming to you, but giving you hints about things that you should know to better yourself. They're there.
I mean, every day is a miracle. We're sitting on a pile of dust flying a million miles an hour through the universe. I mean, think about it. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that we're here, we're born, we're living this moment is an incredible, amazing thing. 15 billion years of history of the universe has conspired to bring you to this exact moment in time.
Yeah.
This is where you're supposed to be.
Yes, it's so true. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Almost didn't say my own name here. My special guest today is Terry Lancaster, great author. His book we're talking about is called Better, Self-Help for the Rest of Us. And it's really great. You can see him on TEDx. And also his articles have appeared in multiple forms, including the Good Men Project. That's great stuff. He's the co-founder, VP, TV producer at Instant Events Automotive Advertising. He's got degrees in English and journalism. Bright, funny guy, and a great read. It's a good self-help book, or an unself-help book, as he calls it, which really kind of perk you up, make you feel good, and a lot of easy steps that you can follow, folks, and won't make you feel guilty about yourself. I just love that. I mean, guilt really sucks. I mean, that's a real big one. And that kind of leads me to the next question I wanted to ask you. How do we get to being able to, as you say, kind of rejoice in the way things are? I know we talked about meditation, but understand that everything is going to be okay. Everything is as it should be. How do we get there?
We're all batting a thousand. Before we actually went on the air, you were talking about the cover of the book. And so this is radio, so people can't see the cover of the book. But on the cover of the book, there is the least self-help bookish-looking guy in the history of self-help books on the cover. He's a middle-aged, bald, hairy, fat guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look like he belongs on the cover of a self-help book. And when I was looking for the cover, I was looking through pictures and stock images. And I saw this picture, and I said, man, that is absolutely perfect, because here's this guy, and he doesn't look like he has that much to be proud about. He's a good 40, 50 pounds overweight. Yeah. He's not that attractive a guy, and his hair's been gone a good 10, 15 years. But he is completely proud.
He has embraced
who he is, and he's fully prepared to rock it.
I said
that is just the perfect image, because that conveys everything I want to say in the book. You are a miracle. Everyone listening to this is a miracle. You have talents that you don't even know that you have, and amazing things happen to you every day.
Yes, they do. And so
that's what I say. Just rejoice in the way things are.
Yes.
And that's from the Tao. So that's one religion. If you read the Bible, it says, "Today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it."
Yep.
Today is a miracle. I think gratitude, again with the gratitude, that is how you rejoice in the way things are. Just be grateful for every day and quit comparing your life to everyone else's life. And then once you fully recognize all the blessings that you have, understand this, that you are a steward for those blessings. You've been given these amazing gifts.
Mm-hmm.
It's your responsibility to cherish those gifts, to treasure those gifts, to improve upon those gifts, and to share those gifts with the world.
Oh, it's so true. That's exactly right.
Start where you are. You can't get where you're going unless you start where you are. So be exactly who you are, only better.
Ah, that's so true. It's really a true thing. Guys, if you want to email me some more, please feel free to do so. We've got several coming in here. I want to try to answer some of your questions at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Comes right here to the station, LA Talk Radio, on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Can I just throw this one out at you? I think it's a good one, Terry.
Let's go.
It's a good one. He just says, this is from B. Okay, B. He says, okay, great. I don't know how to handle my situation right now. 3 months ago, I had a small heart attack. I now have 2 stents in the front valve of my heart. I have to eat different. I'm tired all the time. Can't do what I used to do. How do I get out of this bad place? Oh, boy. Thank you, B. Thank you so much,
First
B.
First of all, congratulations. You're still alive.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yeah. So I mean, and I know it's been a trial for you.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a horrible thing. But you're comparing your life now to what your life was, and them days is over.
Yep.
So all I can say is congratulations for still being here.
Yes.
And you've still got a life to live.
Mm-hmm.
Please live it. You know.
Exactly.
Follow your doctor's advice, but you probably can't run a marathon, but you can still walk. So get up and get moving and exercise, just a little bit of exercise, a little bit of movement, 10, 20 minutes a day makes such a dramatic difference in your life about how you feel. And if you can get up and walk outside in the sunshine, there's nothing more glorious than sunshine.
That's right.
So if you can get outside and walk in the sunshine and get your newly revived, newly repaired heart pumping just a little bit faster, don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you're not that guy anymore. You're not that gal anymore.
Yeah.
And you need to be who you are, only better. So move a little bit. And you can't eat like you used to. You can't eat bacon all the time, and I love bacon. You can't load yourself up on sweets and Diet Cokes. But fruit tastes amazing.
Oh, yeah, they sure do.
Vegetables are amazing. There's amazing food that it, once if you can change your palate
yep.
and quit thinking about what you used to be and comparing the food that you have to eat now, you know, you don't have to eat, you know, green pea puree from the hospital weight room every day.
That's right.
I mean, stir-fried vegetables. You go in, you cut up some red pepper, some onions, some broccoli, some zucchini, splash it in a little olive oil, a little sea salt on it. That will change your life, brother.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Go eat some of that.
Yeah.
Food tastes good. You know, we've gotten used to eating stuff out of a box, and that's what we want to eat now. But food tastes good.
Right.
And I've got a buddy, and I love to say this. He's a vegan bodybuilder. And I don't run across many vegan bodybuilders.
How does he get that protein?
He eats a lot. He eats 30 bananas a day.
No, but he doesn't.
Yes, he does. 30 bananas a day.
Oh,
and you never see him. He doesn't have a piece of fruit in his hand.
Wow.
Or, you know, he carries like grocery bags full of fruit around
right.
with him. Because you can get everything you need from fruit.
Wow.
And the doctor, and that's not going to do anything bad for you. So eat real food and move a little. Eat real food, move a little, drink clean fresh water, get some fresh air, get some sunshine. It will change your life.
Oh, yeah. Spoken from a man who weighed over 300 pounds, right? Yeah.
That's right.
B, thank you so much for, emailing us that. And you know, these things are great. I mean, we have a lot of friends who have had that the stent surgery. Just do what your doctor says. Take your meds. Take care. And, you know, also, as Terry said, you just got to get up. Start slow, little by little. And I'll bet that you're going to feel better than you have, actually. If you start getting into the right vibe here of exercising, taking care of yourself, lowering your stress, you're going to feel better than you did before you had the heart attack.
Absolutely,
because I have a feeling you were kind of...
I didn't know how bad I felt until I started feeling better.
Right, exactly. And also, by the way, they do have what they call heart therapy, you know, in a lot of hospitals. So check it out. Maybe they already referred you to that. It's kind of like, you know, it's rehab. It's therapy, physical therapy. But it's great. It's good for the heart stuff. And they monitor you and they get you going after your stent surgery and after, you know, heart surgeries too. But Mr. Ms. B, whoever you are, thanks for having the courage to email us here on the show. And Terry, that was good stuff. I appreciate that. If you want to call in, we've got one last chance, folks. If you want to get your voice on the air here, 323-203-0815. Terry Lancaster is my special guest. We're talking about his book, Better, Self-Help for the Rest of Us. One quick thing before I want listeners to find out where they can find your book and more about you. What you say in your book, the story that we tell the world changes the world. What do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Well, first of all, we are the story we tell the world. The life we live is the story we tell our world. That's how we tell our story to the universe, by getting out there, living our lives every day.
Yeah.
And there's a Jim Rohn quote that says that you are the average of the five people you are around the most.
Mm.
And the first time I heard that, I kind of took that as a warning. Well, you need to pick better friends. You need to not be hanging out with the people at 2 o'clock in the morning at the smoky, dingy dive bar.
Right.
You know, you need better friends.
Yep.
And that's absolutely true. What you don't hear anyone talking about is this. The five people you hang around the most, the five people you live your life with, they are a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Gandhi says everyone wants to change the world. I think it was Gandhi. Everyone wants to change the world, but no one wants to change themselves. If you change yourself, if you change the story that you tell the world, you're going to change the lives of those people right around you. You can't help but impact their lives by changing your life. And the changes I've made here just at my house, you know, I don't have bags and bags of cookies and crackers and potato chips in the counter anymore.
Yeah.
So that's been a positive thing for my wife and my children. And there's probably no happier moment in my life than when I walk into a restaurant with my wife and however many of my daughters happen to be home at that time, and we sit down.
Yeah.
And the waiter comes by to order our drink, and we're all like, water, water.
There you go.
Water. Water.
That's
water.
Right.
So you change the lives around you by changing your life. I play beer league ice hockey with a bunch of buddies, and we actually the name of our team was Beer. And I tell it, because we started it 10 years ago. We were all hard drinking, hard charging. We, you know, we right. went and played hockey. We drank beer in the locker room. We went to the bar and drank beer afterwards. And we only called it beer because we couldn't get Jello shots on the jersey.
Right.
So I quit drinking 3.5 years ago, and no one's, you know, we didn't have a team meeting that said, okay, Jerry, quit drinking. You know, we've all got to quit drinking.
Yeah.
But I quit drinking. And so I quit hanging out at the bar till 2 or 3 in the morning, and gradually there was less beer in the locker room.
Yeah.
We went from bringing in a case of beer every game to bringing in half a case to bringing in a six pack to bringing in, you know, a couple of beers and a bunch of ice water. And now if we go out to eat after our hockey games, we go and we get a salad, maybe a burger, maybe somebody gets some iced tea, but nobody's drinking 1 or 2 beers that turn into 9 or 10 beers at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
We didn't have a meeting. It just happened. There's a video, one of my favorite things on the web. I found this video of a bunch of metronomes, 30 metronomes sitting on a table.
Yeah.
And you watch them, and they're all clicking. They've all got a different beat. They're all dancing to their own drummer.
Mm. Yeah.
But surely, over the course of about 30 seconds, they just all get in sync with each other.
Yeah, yes.
Because one story told its story to the other. So you live your life in a positive way. That's going to reflect and change the people around you. The story you tell the world changes the world.
That's beautiful. It's true. Example, the way you speak, the way you act, infiltrates everybody, especially those who are close to you, your friends. And also, you know, the positive words you say as well. And, you know, anytime you can be loving and a cheerleader as well to anybody and say, come on, we'll do it right. We'll do it okay. You're going to be fine. You know, that's all in that, too.
Yeah, just like the old shampoo commercial. You tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and so
That's
on,
right.
and so on, so on.
That's right. That's a good one. Well, listen, Terry, what's the best way folks can get your book Better, Self-Help for the Rest of Us?
The book's available on Amazon. You can go order it and download it right now. You can have it on your iPhone reading it in the next 5 minutes.
Yay.
If you go to Amazon and look it. So take a look there. You can find me and a link directly to the Amazon page on my website at terrylancaster.com.
Yay. That's awesome. And by the way, don't forget, everybody, the show's going to be up and in the archives tomorrow for you to download and replay in case you just tuned in a little bit late and you missed some of the good stuff earlier in the show. So don't forget to do that. Terry, you're awesome. Thank you so much for being on the couch here today.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I sure did. All right. Have a good one. We'll talk later. Catch up with your next book, huh?
Bye now.
All right. All right. Good stuff again, Terry Lancaster. The book is called Better Self-Help for the Rest of Us. All right. I got to go. Dr. Michelle here. You can stay on the couch for more super shows on LA Talk Radio. Next week, one of my favorite authors coming back on the show again, going to help you out, talk about self-help. No nonsense, great information. It's called When Your Relationship Changes. Huh? What do we do? It's Catherine Foster again with Dr. Michelle. As I always say, take good care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye. Just